Does it feel good to sing about redemption? That's a great song, a good song that I think David probably very carefully picked out for the lesson today, so I appreciate that. Well, I want you to get excited about your relationship with God. I want you to feel redeemed. I mean, it's good to have the theology of redemption, but it's also good to feel like you're a child of God. There's no greater thing. So I want you to get excited about your relationship with God. And while you're getting excited about that, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me right now to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We're going to look at those verses that were read earlier in the scripture reading. And you can even follow along with the lesson this morning because there is a sermon outline in your church bulletin. You open up, just open it up, crack it down the middle on the left side of the page. You'll see our lesson this morning, and we are going to talk about Romans chapter 3 using our theme about redemption. But before I do that, let me help you get excited. I got a text this morning, by the way, from my good friend Brent Solis, who lives in the Philippines. He's one of the Filipino ministers that we have trained in our style of evangelism. Sent me a text this morning saying they had five, he baptized five into Christ on this Lord's Day, which for them was yesterday. You see, they're 16 hours behind us. So yesterday they were worshiping, and yesterday five precious souls obeyed the gospel thanks to our brother Brent Solis and his zeal for the powerful gospel that saves us today. Well, we're in Romans chapter 3. Do you know that every now and then, when I'm talking to someone about the cold, hard facts of life, and talking about the, as it says here, the human condition, the sin that is in our world today, every once in a while I'll get a comment from a non-Christian friend, and they'll tell me, "Well, preacher, you really don't understand what we're going through. You live this sheltered life, and you don't understand the real world." Well, yes, there are some who think that preachers today are naive about certain things and that we don't understand how the real world functions. We don't understand the depth of sin. Yes, there are some who think that preachers don't understand these things, that we live in some monastery where we're in this little dark room wearing, watching G-rated movies all day long, and we preachers live with the cast of Little House on the Prairie, you know. We live with the Waltons, you know, John Walton, all the... We don't understand the human condition. Well, let me tell you something. I believe that preachers, maybe perhaps more than anyone, we understand the human condition. That's because we see sin close up at its deepest, darkest, most destructive level. We see sin around us all the time. And you may not know this, but just because I wear a suit and tie and because I preach the Word of God, don't think that I don't struggle with sin. Oh, I do. I don't want to tell you how much I struggle with sin. It's embarrassing. I hate when I do things that God doesn't like. And I'm not a proud of those things. I don't even want to give you my testimony. I don't even want to tell you about how bad it is. Yes, I struggle with sin. And secondly, of course, I see sin in the lives of others that I minister to as well. And for me, it's almost like carrying a weight, praying about the body of Christ, praying about those who are really in the muck, as we say. It is very devastating. You're not in the ministry very long before you find out about all the struggles that people are having and all the humanness that is out there in our world today. I mean, some people's lives actually are an open mess. They don't even have to go to great lengths to kind of show you how dirty they are, how sinful they are. You can take one look at them and you can see that they are on the verge of falling apart. And other people's lives seem respectable, all well put together. They look neat and they're wearing their suit and tie and all that good stuff. They seem like they have it all together. But this is what I've learned. Even those people have junk in their lives as well. They might just be better at hiding it. But yes, they have issues going on. There are things that are under the surface of their existence that have the potential to literally tear them apart. You know, having done counseling, you'd be surprised at some of the marriages that seem so perfect, but they are loaded with problems. Oh yes, I see that in marriage counseling all the time. Seemingly, the ideal husband, who you don't know, is the womanizer. Oh, the perfect wife who is living that secret life of adultery. Yes, it happens. And it's not just the problem of struggling marriages either. The human condition is something that plagues us all today. It is hovering over us. It is in the air. It is something that penetrates the heart. We feel the weight of sin in our lives. And though we are inescapably human, I believe that we can escape the human condition. I believe that we can do that through the power of Christ. Through the power of Christ, we can escape the human condition. I hope, again, you have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 3. I want to talk about this song that we sang. I want to talk about redemption. Well, I want to talk about the beauty of redemption, but the ugly side as well. So that's the theme of our lesson this morning in Romans chapter 3. We're going to talk about the overwhelming problem that we have in our world today with sin, but then also the marvelous reality of redemption. There are three things about redemption that I want us to consider. And I hope you'll bear with me this morning because the first two aren't good, but the last one makes it all worth it. We're going to be talking about today the fact that every one of us, as we appear before God, we are absolutely, destructively unacceptable. And secondly, worse than that, we are all going to be held accountable. Every one of us. And then thirdly, though, we'll talk about the fact that everyone is redeemable. Everyone is rescuable. Everyone is subject to the love of God and the salvation we can have through Jesus Christ. But first, let's talk about the bad news. First of all, we need to recognize that everyone is unacceptable. I look out at our audience this morning, and I got to tell you, I really love you guys. I look out and I see a really neat group of people. Neat, beyond neat. That's not that's a cute little world, but a word. But I see a beautiful people in our audience here this morning. And I imagine that some of you have hardly ever been in trouble, have hardly ever had really deep problems with sin. I believe there's probably some out there, you have never cheated on your taxes. You've never cheated on your spouse. Some who I could probably say, I could look out and say, I know a few who probably never even got a speeding ticket. I mean, we have some really, really good people in our audience today. We have some children who are here this morning who've never gotten in trouble. They've never been on suspension. They've never been grounded. They've never cheated on a test. They've always just been these angels, right? Do we have any of those out there? Those children just always do the right thing, right? But now, let's take that a step further. We have some out there in the audience who you probably have rarely even told a lie, that you're really good at not gossiping, and a lot of other what we might call the minor sins, you know. You've even done good on that. But now let's take a look and see what God says about this. Look with me. It's in God's Word, Romans chapter 3, beginning of verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none, he says, who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They've all gone out of their way. See, some people go out of their way to sin. They've all gone out of their way. They have together become unprofitable. He says, there is none who does good, no, not one. What an indictment that hangs over all of us today. We are all in trouble, aren't we? Can I get an amen on that? We're all in trouble, amen? Well, we are. Let's just fess up. Let's just recognize it. Let's see it for what it is. Yeah, we're in this group right here, this passage that we just read. All of us, we're all in trouble. The Bible is clear that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. There is none righteous, no, not one. The human condition is that we are all sinners, that every single one of us are unacceptable before Almighty God. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 10, if you stumble in one point, you've broken the whole law. You know, what we're good at doing is looking at the lawbreakers out there saying, well, I look at all the laws they broke. I just broke one, so I must be better, right? Nope. You broke one, you broke them all. You told a lie, you killed, you murdered, you stole, you didn't respect your mother and father. You broke all the other laws. That's right. Just one stumble makes you a law breaker along with the rest. So my condition is not any different than your condition, nor yours mine. We are all sinners under the hand of God. You know, too often people outside the church, though, they interpret our message as church-going people, as you're not one of us, you're a sinner, you're beyond God's reach, you're going to hell, you're in a bad spot with God. That's what they see the message of the church is. That's what people think that we preach. That's what they think if they come into these walls, that's the message they think they're going to hear, and so they don't want to come here. They don't want to hear that. There's this Bible skit where it shows an overzealous Christian who is trying to witness to a non-believer, trying to share the gospel with this non-believer. And so he approaches the guy and he says to the guy, the soul winner, he says, have you heard the good news? And the person that's listening says, no, I haven't heard the good news. He says, what's the good news? He said, well, the good news is that you're going to hell. And then, to which the person then turned to him and said, well, if that's the good news, what's the bad news? And that's the message they hear from God's people today. The non-believer hears this message. And I hope that we all can do better at witnessing than that when we share our faith with others. The good news is not that you're a sinner, not that you're going to hell. We read in the Bible that the good news, see, that's not an accurate synopsis of the gospel message. That's the bad news that makes the good news so good, so great, so sweet, is that yes, we are sinners, but let's emphasize the good news, and that is we are redeemable. We are precious still in God's eyes. The good news is that God loves us and that He doesn't want any one of us to go to hell. A person that goes to hell really is making that choice. God's not making the choice for you. He's saying, I have heaven. Here's the choice. Love me and I'll save you. I'll redeem you. I'll take you to live with me throughout eternity. And that's the greatest news on this planet, because we know we're not going to stay here forever. And we know that we don't like the sin that we're in. We want to be redeemed. We want to be forgiven. We want to feel good about our relationship with God, knowing that we're going to be with Him in heaven one day forever. We want that. And that is good news. You see, God sees us as redeemable. And we'll be talking about that in a few minutes. But the reality of redemption is that we are all unacceptable before God. And as good as you might be, you are not better than anyone else. That's really what the Bible says. We're all unacceptable before God. In fact, we're never going to be acceptable to God on our own. The Bible says, and if you hope you have your Bibles here in Romans chapter 3, look at verse 20. The Bible says, no one can ever, this is chapter 3, verse 20, no one can ever be made right with God by the deeds of the law. Did you hear that? You can't be right by doing the deeds of the law. Can I translate that even further to you? You cannot be made right with God by doing just good things. In fact, let me take that a step further. You cannot say to yourself, well, you know what, I've done a couple bad things, so I'll just do a whole bunch of good things on this scale and weigh it down. So the few bad things I've done, if I've done enough good things, I've done enough good that God's now going to accept me. It won't matter. You can do a jillion good things and one bad thing, and guess what? Sin is still heavier. It puts you at odds with God. You are not acceptable before Him. That's just the way the Bible teaches this. You know, some people that I share the gospel with, they want to be baptized. They realize they're lost. They want to get into Christ. They want salvation. They want Jesus to forgive them. And yet they say to themselves, and they say sometimes to me, they say, well, you know what? I know I'm lost. I want to get saved, but I've got to get some things together in my life first. I've got to do enough good things. I've got to be more acceptable before God. I've got to look better in His presence. I've got to stop sinning so much. And I say to them, listen, you don't get cleaned up to come to God. You come to God to get cleaned up. See, there's a difference. There's some work that we need to do. But how can you get cleaned up anyway without the right resources, without the power of the Holy Spirit? You need to come to God to get cleaned up. Then He'll help you work on those things. But get salvation first. Come to Christ, get saved, and then work on all those issues. Because we all got a lot of work on to do, right? Wives, this is the time you needle your husbands, right? All got some things to work on. Yeah, we got work to do. But God saves us apart from works of the law. Romans 3:19 says that the whole world is guilty before God. Did you get that? That's Romans 3:19. The whole world is guilty before God. But guess what? It gets worse. We said everyone is unacceptable. Point number two, everyone is accountable. You know, just when you thought it wasn't going to get worse, we're in the sinful condition, we're all unacceptable. But number two, we're going to have to give an account for this. We're all accountable before God. You know, it's one thing to feel unacceptable before God, but worse to know that you're going to answer for your sins and you're going to face the eternal consequences of sin. This is what Romans 3:19 is talking about right here. In Romans 3:19, he says, for whatever, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, why? So that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. You know, I have a feeling on the day of judgment that it is going to be a very quiet atmosphere. It says every mouth will be stopped. I have a feeling that people won't be saying much in that moment. Every mouth will be stopped. People won't be saying much in the judgment. In fact, all that will be said is this: mouth stopped, knees bowed, and every tongue will confess what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Not most, not almost all. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that is about all we'll have to say. Quiet. Every mouth, he says, will be stopped. None of us will be able to turn to God and say, God, I had no idea what you expected of me. I didn't know what you wanted me to do. I didn't know what righteousness looked like. God, I had no idea. I didn't know that it was wrong to tell a lie. I didn't know that when I was gossiping, that that was actually a damnable action, that you were going to take there were consequences to that. I didn't know it was wrong to gossip. I didn't know it was wrong to lie. I didn't know these things were wrong. I didn't know that it was wrong to talk behind someone's back. I didn't know that it was wrong to watch pornography. I didn't know that it was wrong to go a little faster than the speed limit. I didn't know these. No, no. What did he say? As about as quiet as is right now, every mouth will be stopped. None of us will get away with saying, God, it's not my fault. It's not my fault at all. It's the other person, they're the ones that made things difficult for me. God's not my fault. Remember those hypocrites at church? Man, they turned me off to religion. It's their fault. They were all those hypocrites at church. That's why I didn't go. God, it's their fault, not my fault. No one will be saying those things. We won't be able to make excuses because each of us will be equally and independently accountable to God. You know, here's something that we really get good at in life. And I'm even talking to you Christians this morning here. Here's something we really get good at in life, and that is rationalizing our sin. Am I get a little personal for you today? Rationalizing our sin. So to justify our sins, we try to make sin look less sinful. Well, I wasn't gossiping, you know. I was just having a little conversation. I was just giving out some information. I wasn't, you know, saying bad things about that. I'm just telling the truth, right? Oh, wait, it gets even worse than that, though. See, we change the titles of things, right? Oh, that'd be too harsh to call it homosexuality, so now what we call it? Oh, they're just gay. They're just happy, a little happy, you know, in a different way. They're just gay. Oh, not homosexual anymore. Oh, no, that'd be too harsh. That'd be judgmental. Let's just call them gay. And the church has bought into that. We call them gay. I try my best, actually, even in the world when I'm talking to folks. I don't say that gay person. I say that homosexual person. And I'm not judging them. God's got His judgment on them. I'm just calling it is what it is, right? Yeah. Oh, we changed the titles. Oh, wait a minute. It's not adultery. Oh, they're just having a little fling. You know, it's a little fling over here, not adultery. That'd be too harsh, right? Just a little fling. You know, we go on and on. Oh, wait a minute, here's one. Oh, it's not murder. It's not murder, it's just abortion. You know, we're just destroying some little tissue in the body. It's just disposing of the fetal tissue, you know. It's not murder. Oh, it is. You're killing a baby. That is sin. That makes us unacceptable before God. We don't change the titles and take away from the consequences of sin. It's a very delicate thing. We have to be serious about sin. We're going to be held accountable for our sins. And this is what Paul is talking about. Look here in Romans chapter 3 and verse 5. This is what he's talking about in verse 5. He is saying that if our sinfulness shows how righteous God is, he says, then is it right for God to punish us? And then he even adds there at the end of verse 5, he says, that's human reasoning. So here's how we do it today. You know, if God made me as a young man growing up in this culture today where females many times are walking around half naked, and he made me with sexual desires, and then he told me, you can't have that until after you get married. But if he made me like this and he gave me these strong sexual urges and I just got to do this, then I'll tell you what, as long as we intend to get married anyway, and we're just going to keep it with ourselves and we're not going to be hurting anybody, so we'll just engage in fornication and that is okay. As long as we use protection, as long as we intend to get married anyway. But listen, God made your body. And He knows what's good for your body. He knows what's right for your body. And when He says that we're to have sex only after marriage, He means it. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. When He says fornication is wrong, it's wrong. When He says adultery is wrong, it's wrong. We have to understand that. Remember, none of our human reasoning about sin is going to work on the day of judgment. He says every mouth will be stopped and we will all be guilty before God. That's serious. You know, some people think that when they stand before God, they're going to have a chance to debate with Him. You know, chance to argue with Him a little bit, a chance to try to defend their actions, a chance maybe to try to challenge the rules a little bit, or maybe even ask God at the last minute, can you just kind of bend the rules a little bit, just change the rules. You don't change the rules. When God says something, He means it. I learned that yesterday. Got a flat tire coming back from the retreat, the men's retreat. Ron was with me. He'll vouch for my story here. So we got a flat tire, just outside the camp. Got the flat tire about, 500 feet from a Firestone place, right? Trying to change the tire. Couldn't get the lug nuts off. They were too tightly torqued. And so, meanwhile, I walk up to Firestone to see if they can give me a help with my flat tire, right? I'm just down the street. Can you help me out? They gave the whole thing. We got what? Rules. Can't come off the property. Can't work on your car. And by the way, we've got other customers here, so we're not going to be able to help you till 5:30. That's like 3 o'clock. I want to get my, 2:30, I think. I need to get this fixed. We got a long drive back to Phoenix. Can you just squeeze me in, man? It's just going to take you 10 minutes, right, to patch the tire. We'll be on the road. Nobody else. I won't tell anybody. You know your customers. Just fix this up 10 minutes real quick. We'll be out of your way. No problem, right? Nope. No, 5:30, that's all I can. I can only help you 5:30. I'm not going to bend the rules. I go down to the next tire store, go to Pep Boys. I'm going to tell on these people, right? So Firestone, don't ever go there, right? Pep Boys, go down to Pep Boys, same thing. Nope, 5:30, we can't do it till 5. Can't you just squeeze me in? Nope, rules are rules, right? Well, we went on down the road a little bit and found a, here you go, Big O Tires. They're my hero. Got over there. Guy says, same thing, 5:30, can't do it. No, sorry. Please, please, I'm on my knees. I need to get back to Phoenix. Just squeeze me in. Well, he had a heart of compassion. He said, sure, we'll do it real quick. Don't tell anybody, okay? So fix me up. We're on our way. But listen, in the day of judgment, it's not going to be like that. No. No chances. No, let's do have a do-over. Let's challenge the rules. Let's bend the rules a little bit. It's not going to happen that way. We are unacceptable before God. We are accountable before God. You may have done, you may have gotten away with sins before in your past, and maybe with your parents, maybe with your teachers, with whatever you've gone through in your life, but you are not going to wiggle out of this one. We will stand before God in the judgment. We will be held accountable. Oh, but let me tell you this morning, I can't stop there. Finally, preacher, you get to the good news, right? Let's talk about redemption now. And it's going to be short and sweet. Up to this point, you probably have not enjoyed the sermon very much. I've been watching you. Yeah, you've not enjoyed the sermon. So this is like, we never in the church hear the fire and brimstone sermon. You got that part of the sermon's over. Now that we're going to get to the good part, okay? The reality is, though, that there's none of us righteous. No, not one. And that leaves us all in a very bad spot on the day of judgment. We are all unacceptable before God. We're going to be held accountable before God. But God has provided a solution to our sin problem. Notice with me, if you will, now, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Let's read it together. But God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. We are made right with God, he goes on to say, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. He says, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, and yet we are made right with God by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand today that being a Christian is not about you being better than someone else, because you're not. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We're all sinners. None of us can say we're better than anyone else. Or we're even good, because we're not good. Remember, there's none good, no, not one. Being a Christian is not a matter of being good. Being a Christian is a matter of accepting the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. That's where salvation is, at the foot of the cross. where the blood is dripping down. But in the distance, there is a tomb. And that tomb is empty. And Jesus is alive. And He wants to live in you. And He wants forgiveness to flow from His veins through His blood into your body so that you can be bought back. Redeemed, the Bible calls it. Good people do not go to heaven. Forgiven sinners do. That's who go to heaven. You get right with God by being forgiven of your sins. It's about redemption. The redemption that is offered to everyone through Christ. Redemption is very simple. You sold out to the devil by sinning. And God says, I want you back. And I'm going to pay the ultimate price. I'm going to shed sinless blood to buy you back, to redeem you, to bring you back. You sold out to the devil. I want you back. And I love you so much, I'm going to send you my only son to show you how much you are loved. To redeem means to buy back. God wants to buy you back. And He proved it by sending His Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. To buy you back by His blood. And the way, look at the text here, the way you get in on this redemption is through faith. It's very simple. He says it right there. It's through faith. You're saved by grace through what? Through faith. God's grace. And now when you have faith, with God's grace and your faith, you are saved. Now, don't mistake me on this, though. Putting your faith in Jesus Christ is much richer than people may lead you to believe. You know, when we have faith in something, we don't say, I have faith in my washing machine. I don't have it, by the way, in mine. I hate my washing machine. It doesn't work ever. But anyway, I believe. Well, I believe it's there. A mental assent, I say it exists. Doesn't work very good, but, you know, mentally, I know it's there. That's not faith. See, faith requires a faith response. And so when folks believed in the gospel, when they had a mental acceptance of data and information about what Jesus did for them, naturally, guess what they would do? Not only would it affect their head, but it would affect their heart, and then it would affect their hands. They had mental acceptance of the data, of the information, of what Jesus did for them, but they knew that there was something they had to do with their heart and with their hands. And so, for instance, in Acts chapter 2, when they wanted to be saved, they heard the gospel. In verse 37, it says, those who heard the word were cut to the heart, and they asked, men and brethren, what shall we what? Do. They knew they weren't saved by just mentally saying, okay, I see that Jesus died for me. I believe that He is who He is and He did what He did in dying and raising from the dead. They said, what are we going to do? Did Peter say, you know what? You had mental acceptance, that kind of faith. That's good. You're good. Saved by grace through faith. Just believe you mentally. Okay, you're saved. No. When they asked, what shall we do? He didn't say, do nothing. What did He say in Acts 2:38? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you'll receive the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know what they did? The Bible says in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, those who gladly received the word were what? Were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. That day, 3,000 people said, I want in. I believe in Jesus. I'm willing to change my heart, repent, and with my hands, with my action, I'm going to get in the water, get in the blood, and be raised to walk in newness of life. That's faith. That's the faith response God wants. We're going to close this morning. I hope that the redemption that's available to you through the cross of Jesus Christ is precious and sweet to you. The reality of redemption is that every single one of us are unacceptable before God. That we're going to be held accountable to God, but that we are redeemable through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've not turned your life over to Jesus Christ, He is waiting for you today. He wants you to become His child today. He wants you to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Right, Lisa? Chris would say it if he's here. He had to take his daughter home. She's sick. Chris got into Christ recently. These are folks that said, I want in. I want the redemption. I believe. I'm willing to repent. I want to be baptized. And they were baptized into Christ. You can become acceptable through Jesus Christ today. You're going to be held accountable. But guess what? That accountability now will be with Jesus' blood covering your sin. And God will not see the sin. And He will take you in. You know, I got to tell you right now, the scariest words that you could ever hear in your life are these words: depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Some are going to hear those words. Look it up, Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. I hope you're not going to hear those words. That today you'll change your eternity if you're outside of Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've been thinking about a sin that you're holding on to, and you've heard the gospel. You know that you believe in Jesus. You want to repent and you want to be baptized, but there's a sin that you're struggling with. Struggle now with the blood of Jesus Christ covering you. Come to Christ today. I know there are some in this audience today who've heard the gospel. You know you need to obey. You need to be baptized into Christ. Come to Jesus. He'll wash you clean. He is going to redeem you today. Let's stand to sing our invitation.